When I came to do this exhortation, I think I was talking to Jen, and she said, "Oh, what are you going to exhort on?" And I said, "Oh, prayer." And I had, it just sort of came out anyway. When I sat down, I thought, "Well, I've got to do one on prayer, don't I?" Because funny enough, as Christadelphians, we pray a lot, and of course, in the Bible, it's full of prayers from different apostles and disciples. And yet, you know, when a person's baptized, they're just left without how to pray. And so they just develop it over time, and just like you and I, you just start off with a prayer and you develop it and so on. Anyway, we're all qualified to pray to our Father in Heaven. And how do we qualify? Well, for some unknown reason, God called you and he called me, and we did respond by learning more about him and his purpose with mankind. And while you're doing that, of course, you learn in the scriptures about prayer, because you can see how others prayed to God. As I said, the scriptures are full of that. And of course, the prayers are all for different reasons too. When we think of how great, how wonderful and powerful God is, we have to stop and think in comparison with our own selves, how small and insignificant we are compared to God. For a comparison, we're like a grain of sand on the beach out of the mountain, Tauranga here. And God is larger than this world we live in. His domain is light years away in the universe. We cannot comprehend how great God is, because we are so limited in our thinking. So when we approach our God, our Father in Heaven, our approach should be in a majestic sort of way. But majesty deserves or requires dignity. In our society, we at appointed times may have a chance to see the Queen. And there's certain things that you have to do to show respect. We see the British royal family in the, you know, riding around in the wedding ceremonies, and their pomp, and the coaches and the horses, and all that ceremony that goes with it. We might regard the rules and etiquette and ceremony that goes on in courts. And the Supreme Court is a very formal and artificial. But we all agree that some rules are necessary if the supreme symbol of authority is maintained. The institution of the ritual of the worship in the tabernacle shows the principle of respect required by God when he says, "I will be sanctified in them that draw near to me." We know that the time and place were essential elements in the Mosaic ritual, and the consequences of ignoring them were often fatal. But when we look at prayer to God in the Bible, we find that in all the examples, there's such a variety that there appears to be no limitation of when, where, why, or how we should pray. You find in the New Testament references to prayer in association with the temple services. Obviously, the congregation would have set times for prayer, just as we are having set times for our prayer at our meeting. We have David in the Psalms. He mentions his prayers at evening and morning. Not morning and evening, because they're using the Jewish calendar, of course. He also mentions another time in Psalms 55, verse 17. He says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." In Daniel, Daniel in chapter 6, verse 10, pray three times a day. And he symbolically associates himself with the appointed place of sacrifice by opening his window towards Jerusalem. So to have appointed times of prayer can ensure that everyday life doesn't crowd God out of our life. The midday prayers of David and Daniel were probably because of the siesta made needful by the hot sun that they have there. But the two other prayers, morning and night, should be part of our daily life. Just as we go to bed at night and we get up in the morning. This recognises that in him we live and we have our being. Another formal occasion, which we all do regularly, follows the example of Christ himself, that of giving thanks for our food. While there's a possibility that this prayer may become one of habit, you have food and you just say, oh, we'll give a prayer, we should try to keep it so it is still very meaningful and not just a routine. While we have these normal, as you might say, everyday prayers, there will be other times when we need some immediate help. A great example of this in the Bible is Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah faced by the king? The king's question, gave a prayer, and then answered the king. As Brother Leo told us the other day, it's probably the shortest and quickest prayer in the Bible. It was actually a very inappropriate place to do, for it was a heathen king and in a banquet. But God evidently listened, for Nehemiah found faith of the king. Sometimes prayers are not always right away answered, but a little time is required. Perhaps the supreme example of this is the one the Lord gave in the Garden of Gethsemane. Three times he prayed the same thing. His need persisted, and so he persevered until he got the answer. So too, on a less exalted plane, Paul requested deliverance from his thorn in the flesh. And three times he made the request until he also knew or found the answer. Clearly then, the question of when, where we pray largely governs what we might say at that time. There's a prayer that comes to us in a time of peril or anxiety when we feel we need deliverance from something that is out of our control and we need help. And then there is a prayer we should give when the request we have made to God is given. The Psalms are full of examples of praise and thanksgiving that show genuine expression of feeling, which has arisen from the knowledge of something which God has done for someone. Sometimes a prayer is given, not for the person who is giving it, but for those who are around him. Well, there's an example of Jesus who said he spoke his prayer of thankfulness because of those that stand by him. And when God answers our prayer, and we then make a special prayer to him to thank him for what he has done for us, we glorify God again for his wonderful care to each one of us. Many times that we're in a situation that we need God's help is because of a situation which we ourselves have made. Next time we're going to make a major decision, before we do something, perhaps we should pray to God for guidance and help before we make that decision. The other thing about prayer is that we should believe that what we pray for will happen or be granted. Matthew 21 and verse 22 says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And of course, prayer is not without a formula. It will vary, of course, because we're all different individuals, have different needs and so on. But prayer is not without the essentials. The first one is obvious, isn't it? We have a form of address indicating the form of our relationship. For instance, Abram's servant prayed to the Lord, and he said, "The Lord God of my master Abraham." Jesus, when he prayed to the Father, used the word Father. And he taught his disciples to say, "Our Father." And we are his disciples, aren't we, brothers and sisters? So surely then, perhaps the first title we should say is Our Father, whether he's in heaven or whatever, but we should have a title. We have some wise words from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 1, which says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to him, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth. Let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore let your words be few." Sometimes as humans we take a long time to say something that could be said in a few words. With prayer, it is best that the content or purpose of the prayer should be stated as correctly and straightforward as possible. Of course, there may be occasions, such as Solomon's dedication to the temple, when a number of topics have to be dealt with in some length. Or perhaps Daniel's confession, when the intensity of feeling finds expression in a detailed recital of facts and reasons. But normally it would be better to concentrate thoughts and words on the matter concerned. For example, if you're giving thanks for the food, it would be better if you didn't also add onto your prayer something like a request for the peace of Jerusalem or some other biblical event. Now on the other hand, personal prayers will always have a diverse and wider scope of subjects or topics. Paul in his letter mentions a number of personal matters that were the subject of the prayers of himself and his faith. When we make personal prayers to God, what do we expect to get from them? I know when I make a prayer for someone who's going to have an operation, Brother Leo has an operation or something or other, one of these normal ones. And I don't pray for Leo, but I pray that God will give the operating surgeon the skills to do the best that Leo can have, or any person can have. I think that prayer is to help us as individuals too. For sometimes a little prayer can, soften us, or think twice about what we're doing. It settles us down in a way. Paul, who wrote that all things work together for the good to them that love God, he believed that the prayer of his friends could affect his life. He expected to be delivered because of the prayers of Philemon. He also asked for the prayers of the Philippians, that he might speak boldly. All these prayers can be regarded as being concerned with the purpose of God and preaching the gospel. Paul constantly exhorts the disciples of the need to bring their whole life into harmony with their way of life. And he says, for example, in Ephesians 4 verse 28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Paul says to his servants that they are to serve Christ in their service to their masters. The whole of our life is then to be involved with God. Doesn't matter who you are, white, black, green, yellow, rich, poor, or a slave, whatever you may be, or whatever you do, we should all live and behave that way, that we may be true God's representatives wherever we live on this earth. And that's a big task, isn't it? We're representative of our Father in heaven. Once we recognise that any activity or action of ours, even though it may have nothing to do with religion, it may be a personal thing or business situation, it still will have an effect on our life and the truth. We should feel it necessary to have God's blessing or guidance. And so when things work out for us, we have a sense of thankfulness, of God's regard for us. One of the most striking examples of God's regard for the prayers of his servants is one run by Moses. In fact, Moses made a number of prayers. If you remember, he was all the time praying to God, having to save the Israelites for the things they did. But the one in Numbers 14, verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." And to that, Moses offers a protest in his prayer to God, and God answered him immediately. Verse 20 says, "Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." And another remarkable prayer was the two recorded about Peter when he was in prison. If you remember, recorded in Acts 12:5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the ecclesia. And then we have this incident of the girl called Rhoda, verse 12. Paul comes to the house of Mary, mother of John, where there were many gathered together praying. Peter knocks on the door, and a girl named Rhoda came and answered it. When she recognised Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the door, but ran to the others there and said, "Hey, look, Peter stood outside." And what did they say to him? "You're mad." But she kept on insisting that it was Peter. So they said, "Oh, well, it must be an angel or something." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, we know, they were astonished. They stood there amazed that there was Paul. The question I ask you is, why were they astonished? It's mentioned twice in verse 5 and verse 12 that they'd been praying. It doesn't tell you what they were praying for, but surely it was for the release of Peter from his captivity, you would think. We'll never know. They should have had more trust, shouldn't they? Has it ever happened to you that when you've prayed for something and you can't quite believe that it has happened? The other thing, of course, with this situation is that when we pray for something, do we thank the Father if the prayer is answered? So here's a question for you to answer, just to yourself. Recently we were asked to pray for a Christadelphian family who was going to be sent back to, I think it was Pakistan or somewhere. And they were to go back, they would be killed or something like that. God answered that prayer and saved that family. It was good news. But those brethren who prayed for that, how many of you thank the Father for that response? That's, of course, if you prayed for them. On the other hand, not all prayer is answered in the way we would like. But it is the truth that, regardless of the result, God does listen to our prayers, provided it is expressed in a proper form and with the right intentions. Because there are several occasions, as you know, in the Bible where God would not listen because the prayer was unacceptable. Think of this. I thought it was an electrician knows what he's doing, well, you hope he does, and he handles high voltage, you know, up on those power lines, and he's got due respect for the power that's there, for it means if he makes a mistake, it could be life or death. In prayer, we approach the most powerful force in and outside the world, the omnipotent God, who owns us and everything about us and around about us. We are exhorted to come boldly with reverence to the throne of grace to find strength to help us in times of need. And we are happy regardless of our situation in life, whether we are rich or poor, in power or helpless, sorrow or joy. We can turn to Him, in whose hands our life is. Our life is in the hands of our Father in heaven, and He will do whatever is best for each one of us. And we are reminded that God is the God of love. Even without prayers, He daily showers us with great love and care. Revelation 22, in the last verse in the Bible, gives us one last prayer. It says, "Surely I come quickly, even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Alleluia."